The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back, everybody, and Happy New Year. We are charging into 2017, and we've got a great lineup for you. Today, we're going to spend some time talking to the dynamic thyroid advocate you need to know about. She's got her top five rocking New Year's Eve resolutions for a healthy thyroid and your best year ever. Welcome my guest, Fern Olivia, a thyroid expert and founder of Thyroid Yoga, where integrative medicine meets yoga. I love that. Welcome, Fern.
Thank you so much, Dr. Taz. It is amazing to be here with you today.
I am honored to have you here. And, you know, we're jumping into 2017. And no matter how you may have felt about 2016, I always say a new year is a time for opportunity. And we're really pleased to have you here so that you can help our listeners and even me think through our thyroid a little bit differently. Let me give our listeners just a little bit of background on you, Fern, and correct me, you know, definitely if there's anything we need to add, but you're a thyroid expert and a master. You're founder of Thyroid Yoga, but your background originally was in biomedical engineering, and then you became a speaker and international teacher on the power of integrative medicine, yoga, and intuitive self-healing. I have to ask, how did that journey evolve, and how did a biomedical engineer become passionate about yoga, and then more specifically, passionate about balancing and healing the thyroid?
Wow. Yes, it is. You know, such an interesting journey how we find ourselves exactly where we're supposed to be. I was struggling with autoimmune symptoms all through, you know, my teens and then into college, but I didn't know that they were autoimmune symptoms. I just thought that, you know, it was the sluggish thyroid that I was told that I had at age about 16, and I was always bloated, really had a hard time losing weight, skin issues, digestive problems. I remember just being constipated perpetually, no matter what I ate. And I was always popping Sedrin and Gas-X and, you know, just over-the-counter pills to mask whatever symptoms I had. And I thought that was normal. Doctors were like, oh, yeah, just, you know, here's Gas-X, here's Pepto, you'll be fine. And all through college, I studied biomedical engineering because I ultimately wanted to help people. And I didn't know really how to do that other than do the medical route, because that's what, you know, people did. You become a doctor and then you help people.
Right.
But I realized that I didn't want to go into the traditional medical field, nor did I want to work in a lab. I just had this desire to actually help and heal people on that deeper, intimate level. So I went into finance. That was completely a joke. I did go into finance, though, but it was because I was disheartened at the medical field. I didn't see myself becoming a doctor at that point, and I really didn't, you know what I could do with the engineering degree that I had just worked my ass off, you know,
for 4 years. I can imagine.
And I was sick all the time. And I, you know, like, I didn't really have a direction. I was very disconnected with my body. Clearly, I went into finance with even a greater disconnect for what I wanted to do. But I knew that if I did that, I could make money and then figure out what I wanted to do. So I did that.
Well, I wanted to stop you for a second, because I'm just thinking about the younger women listening to us who might be trying to chart their career paths out. What turned you off when it came to medicine? I think a lot of us go into medicine, myself included, really, really with the right intention. It sounds so cliche, but I truly went into medicine wanting to help people. And I think so many people do. What turned you off in that journey where you ended up in the world of finance instead of in medicine or in engineering?
The medical field that I was so disheartened by was that a lot of the doctors that I was, you know, going to for my own health were just prescribing me medication. And it wasn't this deeper inquisitiveness of what was really going on in my life. And, you know, I was spending around $800 for a 15-minute visit with a doctor and walk out with another blood test and more pills to take. And it was really, I felt hopeless. I felt lost. And I, you know, it didn't really resonate with my heart on, oh, I could see myself doing this. No, not at all. You know, it was completely the opposite. So, it was hard because I'm very creative, and engineering too was tough, because as creative as I, you know, you can be as an engineer, it wasn't the creativity in self-expression sense. You know,
That's so really interesting.
this gift of writing and speaking that I wasn't, you know, able to really get through in that.
I think that's one of my biggest complaints about our Western medical education system is that for those of us that are creative or gifted in that way, the art of medicine is actually very creative. It's not formulaic. It's not an assembly line, but the process of educating a doctor, I feel like it takes that initial intention of, hey, I'm going to help people and I'm going to use all my senses and my intellect to do so, to turning us into very robotic creatures. And that's where a lot of the overall disenfranchisement with medicine, I think, begins. So how do you, though, find your way to becoming the thyroid queen? You think about medicine as a career, you turn away from it, you enter the world of finance, and now you're the thyroid queen. What happened there? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that's very interesting that, you know, I became the thyroid queen after struggling for so many years with my own symptoms. And I feel like I tried everything in the book. And along that journey, I just got really smart about what works and what doesn't work and why it's all happening, why the madness is all happening in the first place. And I think because I just didn't give up and I wanted to find answers that didn't currently exist and find them through alternative modalities that a lot of the traditional doctors weren't endorsing at the time or didn't even know about. I think the innovation in what I've been doing has, you know, created such a buzz, and so many people around the world have been looking for these answers for so long. So there was this gap that was missing, and I continue to find new ways of healing. And it's been my dream come true, not only to heal myself, but then to, you know, people will write me letters saying that, you know, I didn't even know I had a thyroid condition, but then, you know, I was watching your video and something sparked inside of me and it turned out I had a nodule and it's been the reason I've been feeling so awful. And then, you know, we detected cancer months, you know, before it reached any, you know, malignant, you know, really bad stage. And it's really inspiring to see that I'm empowering so many men and women to, you know, take control of their health and really go into the prevention and understanding why the imbalance is even there in the first place. It's so much, you know, so much of my journey there was no inquiry about why things were actually off. It was like, okay, let's fix it.
I know. And that always surprises me. So how was your own thyroid disease finally discovered? Did you find it on your own or did you, what happened there?
Well, I learned I had Hashimoto or hypothyroidism at 16, around 16 years old. So I was immediately put on Synthroid and told that we'd have to do blood tests every couple months. And that was that. There was no lifestyle tricks or tips or anything or any like
eliminate
gluten. Yeah, none of that. So I still felt terrible. And all through college, I would go to the health center and they would just give me allergy pills and Z-Pack. I'm like, in my back pocket. Anytime I needed Z-Pack, I'd get Z-Pack because I was always sick. So when I got into the corporate field, I was always popping pills because those long hours and I just felt so miserable. And I was like, I got to figure this stuff out. What's going on in my body? I'm a researcher. I have smarts. Like there's no need to be a zombie anymore. So I realized that I don't remember whose research it was, but around the thyroid panel, and so many doctors don't even test for the TPO and for the antibodies. And I brought in this study to a doctor that, like, it was a top doctor at Cornell Med. And I was like, have we ever tested for this? And he's like, no. I was like, well, why not? You know, there's a thing called Hashimoto's and, you know, mm-hmm. I might have it. It looks like I have these symptoms. And sure enough, we did the test that came back positive for the Epstein-Barr antibodies. I had mono in high school, but no other doctor had even looked at that link before. And then the Hashimoto's was there as well. So that was around 22 years old. So around 6 years later, originally the hypo diagnosis. And I was like, okay, well, gluten mimics the structure, the protein gliadin in gluten mimics the structure of the thyroid gland, weakens it over time if, you know, there's no, you know, if you're not eliminating it. And also, I mentioned that I probably had leaky gut because I was throwing up all the time after eating, and the doctor didn't even know what that was or the correlation between gluten and the thyroid. So I was presenting all this research, and
oh my gosh.
It was this moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm empowering a doctor I have some knowledge and I've got to step up in my work. I can't just sit at a cubicle for 12 hours and punch data into a spreadsheet. I have a bigger purpose than this. And, you know, I really need to empower patients and doctors and bridge the gap, because there's total validity in the Western medical approach. There's a lot of times where, you know, people are totally against it, but there's really so much that can be done in synergy with the Eastern and Western approach, which I'm so passionate about. So it was this great ability to empower, and that's when it all started to shift for me.
So you're the thyroid queen, and being the thyroid queen, I'm hoping my listeners understand how much information you just delivered in that answer. So I want to review a couple of things because I think they're so critical. First of all, for anyone suffering from a thyroid disease, I see this in practice all the time, and Fern has just mentioned it. It's really, really important to get your antibodies checked. I think the conventional way of looking at the thyroid is to do a TSH, to do a T4, to do maybe a T3, but they never look at the antibodies. For any of you with any type of thyroid condition, get those antibodies checked, because the difference it makes is in understanding whether your thyroid condition is autoimmune or is it the function of something else. So I think that's the first thing Fern delivered that I really want everyone to remember. The other thing she said was that the gut plays a role, because she herself had leaky gut, correct, Fern? You had leaky gut, and yes, that played a role in her autoimmune thyroid disease, which was Hashimoto's, and that opportunistic infections play a role, something like Epstein-Barr. So these are the dots that many doctors still today don't connect. And Fern, I can tell you so many patient stories, you know, but one particular where I struggled with the patient's thyroid for maybe a year and a half. And I knew the patient needed to get off gluten, but just could not make that commitment to do that. And so we'd go up on a medication, we'd go down on a medication, we'd switch medications, we'd go Synthroid, Nature Throid, Armour Throid, West Throid, we go all over the place, but he just could not commit to going gluten-free. And the day he committed to that, he no longer even needs thyroid medication. So again, to drive home that point to all of you listening out there, how a thyroid disease is a function oftentimes of something else, and you've got to think big picture, not just about the thyroid. So as the thyroid queen now, Fern, you're integrating yoga into healing the thyroid. Can you connect that? You're probably better at that than I am. How do you connect yoga and healing to really taking care of your thyroid?
Yeah, that's amazing. There's such a big link with yoga and mindfulness and breathing, and that's primarily where it comes from, is you're becoming your own intuitive healer, because you'll start to really take care of your body and understand your body in a different way. Where I differ a little bit more, and I take that to the next level, is, you know, a lot of my clients are already practicing yoga. They already have some sort of mindfulness practice. However, there's some specific poses and breath exercises and meditations that actually activate and stimulate the hypothalamus, the pituitary, which directly affect the thyroid hormones. So when I found out what these poses are and, you know, how they really trigger that stimulation of the hormones, I was like, I've got to take this to a new level. It's not just practicing a vinyasa yoga class. You know, it's great exercise. It's amazing to be in tune with your body. But if you can take that time that you're doing on the mat and then really target it on certain poses and really focus there every day, it's incredible how you immediately, like, wow, the switch goes off and you feel a difference in your body. So that's how I became the thyroid yoga queen, and that's how I created my own method. I mean, these poses exist. It's not like I created the poses themselves, but I've elaborately and deliberately created sequences that target the thyroid themselves. And then also the adrenals and the kidneys and the liver and the spleen and the whole digestive system, because those organs and those systems are affecting the thyroid as well. So when we can really flush the kidneys and we can relieve the chronic stress that's built up in the lower back area, in the hip creases, we're able to move that energy that's been stuck throughout the body really efficiently. And that, oh my gosh, there's just so much knowledge around that, and ancient Chinese medicine and Taoism, and I incorporate Kundalini and Ayurveda in there as well. So it's really different. It's really unique.
And that sounds amazing. How can one of our listeners maybe find this routine, and how much time would you say they need to devote to it, and how often in a week?
Yeah, every day is, as you know, the best and the best that you can do. Every morning, first thing in the morning, before you have your morning tea, just to do 15 minutes. It can be that short. I have a 15-minute sequence. They can find it on thyroid.yoga. And then from thyroid.yoga, you can go into the shop page. You can read a little bit about what I'm doing. There's some resources, some meditations on there. There's a daily morning sequence that I have on my site that is the game changer. I mean, 15 minutes of that every day, you'll notice immediately a shift in your body. And it's really important to move first thing in the morning to stimulate the digestive organs. And then also, that's the time that really you can kickstart your thyroid and really create that pattern in the morning of doing that is everything. So it doesn't have to be long.
So 15 minutes, ideally daily. And you can find this particular routine to balance your thyroid at thyroid.yoga with Fern. Fern, beyond being the thyroid queen, we've heard that you've trained with practitioners all over the world. You travel a lot. What would you share with our audience and our listeners about some of those experiences? What have you learned the most? And what do you recommend for us in terms of travel and retreats for women?
Yeah, that's a great question. Traveling changed my life because I was able to work with teachers in, you know, cities outside my own, and then open my own eyes to, you know, seeing different parts of the world, getting out of my comfort zone, expressing myself creatively in my work, being inspired. Creativity is directly related to the thyroid, which is located energetically in the fifth chakra of the body in the throat. And I felt like when I was stuck in my comfort zone, I wasn't as creative. But when I would go out to a place like, you know, for example, Cayman Islands or Hawaii or a lot of these places are tropical that I go to. I'm just drawn to the warm weather. When I go there, I feel my body would just heat up with fire, with passion. And I felt like I was able to do more writing and do more, I'd sequences would come to me. I would just be in a meditation and all of a sudden I would say, oh my gosh, I have to do this one. And that was really great. So I am doing a retreat in Cayman Brac, which is a very small, beautiful island, in right off Grand Cayman, and doing that in October 2017 from the 14th to the 19th. And it's a thyroid yoga retreat. So I will be teaching the sequences, the meditations, the breath work. There's a farm to table. The whole premise that the farm that all the food that we eat is from is right there. It's this 20-acre, beautiful seed to table farm, and everything is grown right there on property that we'll be eating, which is really special. And I'm developing a whole thyroid nourishing menu, which is very exciting. And it's just going to be a really great intimate experience where you can finally learn the tricks and tools to kickstart your thyroid and to feel really supported and to feel taken care of.
That.
And it's relaxing, of course.
Yes, it sounds amazing. Right off Grand Cayman, October 2017, a thyroid yoga retreat. How do our listeners get more information about that?
They can find that too on thyroid.yoga/retreat.
Thyroid.yoga/retreat. All right, we're in a new year, and I know our time's about to run out shortly, but talk me through what 2017 looks like for you and what you see for the future, what your intuitive and your creative sense kind of thinks that the year holds ahead for the rest of us.
Yes, so first off, what 2017, I think, looks like for all of us and has to look like for all of us if we want to really create change in the world is to speak our truth and to fully step into our creative work. So for many listeners, I know I felt the same way. I felt stuck at some point, you know, whether it was my career, whether it was a relationship, whether it was a business partnership, there was something in the past when my thyroid symptoms were at their worst. I felt stuck. I felt not in control of my purpose or my future. And that translated to a knot in my throat. Literally, I felt like something was stuck. So journal, vision board, really start to listen to your authentic voice that's inside. What do you want? Start to really get clear on that and then start to vocalize and feel your feel yourself giving yourself permission to let go of the judgment or the fear of shining. And you'll notice that that's correlating to your thyroid health and how you feel. And being creative is the antidote to suffering. So, you know, in your relationship, express yourself. Notice where you feel you don't feel heard, where you don't feel understood. And support yourself energetically. And in order to, I think that there's a lot of suffering in the world right now. In order to feel better, living our truest nature and being the people that we were born to be is going to ease a lot of that suffering and inspire so many people around us to do the same. And for me, what that looks like is, you know, writing more. I love to write. I love to speak. I love to have platforms where I can reach more people. So a book is happening this year, and around healing your thyroid with its most practical will create really lasting change in your life. Step by step yoga sequences, breath work, meditation, food, everything basically that I've used to heal my own thyroid and thousands of my clients have experienced and has been life changing for them as well. And also, besides a book, my teacher training program, I had about 20 students all over the world that I trained in the thyroid yoga method in Berlin, in Austria. I mean, just amazing. The people that found this was all over the world. I did it live and then virtually as well. So I'm going to do more trainings. I'm doing one in Australia this summer and more down the road. So expanding that, still offering it online, wherever in the world you are, if it resonates with you, talk to me. And it's just incredible to share this work in that way.
That is amazing. So she's got a book. We've got retreats. We've got teacher trainings. Sounds like, Fern, you have a very full 2017 ahead of you. For my listeners, if you're trying to find out more about Fern's work and her thyroid tricks and tips, then remember thyroid.yoga is where a lot of these routines can be found, along with information about her retreat. She's also on Instagram at Fern Olivia, and then she's on Facebook at Yoga with Fern. And she's already, Fern, you've already answered the question that I typically close with, which is, what is the secret for all of us to be the best we can be, or to be the best versions of a superwoman we can be? And you've answered it with the same answer I gave myself when I do my own meditations for 2017, which is, we just need to be authentic. The thyroid, remember, is connected to that throat chakra, which, as she's already described, is all about expressing yourself, finding yourself, owning it, and then moving forward. So I think we should leave everybody with that and wish them the best 2017. Not only should we think about healing our thyroid, but really about owning your purpose and your passion. Fern, thank you so much for being with me today. Is there anything you want to add before I let you go?
You covered it completely. Really happy to meet you all and to share the work. So please do connect. I'd love to hear your story. And Dr. Ted, thank you so much for having me here.
You are welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.